get into parliament today, so we had logistical problems. Jefferson, I apologize on behalf of Executive Mayor Amos Masondo, Chairperson of SAUGA, and Executive Mayor Sophie Molokwane Machika.
Mayor Masondo this time. This time around, where is he?
Chairperson?
Look, this is the fifth year we're doing this thing. He's never been there. Where is he this time around?
Chairperson, you have to understand that we are equals amongst equals in SAUGA, and therefore that I am duly mandated as a directly elected SAUGA NEC member to make this presentation. The officials accompanying me is Mr. Mayur Makanau, the Executive Director, Economic Development and Planning, next to me. Sinki Lachola, Municipal Finance Manager, to my right, and Mr. Mutabele Kolisa, Executive Director, Municipal Infrastructure Services. The submission of SAUGA today takes into account engagements that have taken place with National Treasury and discussions at the Budget Forum in October 2008. And again, here, Chairperson, we welcome the fact that our participation in the budget forum, as well as our request that a provincial budget forum also be introduced as a mechanism of consultation. Sometimes you ask for money and you get it, and then you ask for money and don't get it, and then you get money which you didn't ask for. So we need to look at particularly the last issue of provincial planning. SAUGA in general welcomes the bill as tabled and has formulated a set of comments in relation to both general and conditional grants with regard to continuous improvement in terms of our systems. The fiscal and financial structure of local government and the challenges we are faced with are defined by the context as well as the content of local government and the functional competencies of municipalities. Municipalities in predominantly rural areas, for example, may face significant limitations in their revenue due to the small size of their tax base with low levels of economic activity. Particularly here, we need to request that the grading system for municipalities in terms of its financial viability be undertaken to exactly know the financial viability of our different municipalities, from the lowest, especially those that we regard as non-viable. A differentiated approach is therefore needed in dealing with the challenges of different categories of municipalities within different geographic contexts. Municipalities located at the coast are different to municipalities. Certain coastal municipalities, small ones, etc. In terms of the treatment of metros, performance targets needs to be included in the matrix, which includes agreed outcomes or outputs with National Treasury, and this has to be finalized and approved by Council by the 1st April 2009. This timeline is a concern as municipalities are engaged in their budgets and IDP processes, and perhaps this timeline should be aligned to the municipality's IDP approval timeline for 31st May 2009. The agreed outcomes and targets need to be incorporated into the metro IDPs. On the question of expanded public works program, SAUGA has raised the following issues. Sorry. The principle of differentiated approaches about how to manage MIG allocations, taking into account the different capacities of municipalities. Then, for MIG cities, the proposal is to remove detailed project submissions requirements for metros, while allocating to them the same amounts as per MIG formula and this is supported by Salga. In underperforming municipalities, as a Section 7 grant is proposed to centralize infrastructure investment implementation within DPLG. Salga's comments on this is that the definition of underperforming municipalities and problems or challenges associated with MIG is not clear. The proposal of a Schedule 7 goes against the progress of the last 15 years towards decentralizing service delivery to the sphere of government that is the closest to communities. Particularly here, we have to emphasize our commitment as a member of the United Cities and Local Government in Africa, to the United Cities and Local Government in the world body, and the principle of subsidiarity and devolution of power. This is a principal position of SALGA with regard to infrastructure development. That an alternative approach be developed in conjunction with National Treasury and DPLG to best support and assist underperforming municipalities. Insofar as EPWP is concerned, Chair, SALGA has raised the following issues with National Treasury and Department of Public Works with regards to the nature of the EPWP wage incentives, the eligibility conditions, and the employment creation targets. The current proposed phasing in of EPWP targets and wage incentives includes a minimum threshold target based on 2008-09 achievements, which municipalities need to first meet before they will be eligible to receive the incentives. These targets were, however, retrospectively applied to all districts and municipalities, resulting in many being disqualified for eligibility for the incentive. So we have 4.2 billion, if I'm not mistaken, available, which we appreciate. But if there were no targets set, and we are now, it's been, municipalities are being adjudicated, you know, in the retrospect, then it will not be able to deliver on that immediately. However, in our discussions with the minister, indicated that our willingness to submit labor-intensive job creation projects with particular view on green type of projects, that they will look at this matter favorably. After discussions with National Treasury and the Department of Public Works, SALGA recommends the following. To allow all municipalities who have reported on EPWP to be deemed eligible to participate in the wage incentive. Encourage incremental performance from a baseline determined by the incentive formula for 09-10. On the rural and transport services and infrastructure grant, they're saying at SALGA, while the grant is still in a pilot phase, it is felt that there is a lack of clarity on the alignment of this grant with a big portion of municipal services infrastructure. There's also a question about how the specific projects in the framework were prioritized and how will they be prioritized in the future. SALGA would like to emphasize on the need to consider rural infrastructure development in a holistic and integrated way beyond transportation. This will also need to be aligned to a clear rural development strategy. And that rural development strategy, some municipalities have started off by creating departments of rural development. On the electricity demand side management grant, we are saying that this grant should be seen as an intervention beyond electricity provision. The focus of this grant should be used to get all municipalities, and not only licensed ones, to initiate demand-side management measures and effectively and efficiently more broadly. SALGA proposes that an additional allocation criteria be included in the ESCOM element of the grant, that ESCOM's expenditure of the grant conforms to an annual business plan that must be agreed with municipalities in terms of the SLAs, or service level agreements. The backlogs in electricity, water and sanitation in schools and clinics. I think this point has already been made by other submissions, but we endorse those submissions that the lack, that municipalities that were not consulted have indicated that they have not had a direct say or have not been aware in deciding priority recipients in their local areas. The lack of involvement of municipalities in decision making regarding where public sector investment should go in their municipal areas makes it impossible for them to determine patterns of spatial development, particularly the national spatial development perspective, indicated that all government investment should be reported on by district municipalities. However, we did not find the mechanism in the IGR how to give effect on the infrastructure reporting mechanisms. Grant for electrification of clinics in schools will result in ESCOM being responsible for connecting clinics and schools in areas where municipalities are distributors. It is proposed that this grant be allocated to distributors of electricity, that is to ESCOM or municipalities, where they are the licensed distributors. The other point made here is in terms of the IDP chair, where the out-migration of people causes some of the infrastructure that are constructed to be white elephants, especially as far as the rural schools are concerned. Water services operating subsidy grant. It is proposed that there be a third component to the grant in addition to the personnel allocation and the operating allocation. A refurbishment allocation is essential for refurbishment of dilapidated infrastructure that is being transferred to municipalities. Here we find that in the planning, especially of the infrastructure to be transferred, that there are design faults, which requires us, therefore, as municipalities, to correct those design faults in order to have a proper water system be transferred to us. Municipalities are receiving water services schemes from DWEF are largely receiving schemes whose operating costs are unreasonably high. This is largely because the total life cycle costs of the schemes were not adequately taken into account during the design stages of the schemes, point I've also expanded on. It is proposed that the subsidy decrease must be ring-fenced for the schemes transferred and not be allocated as part of the general equitable share to local government. There were certain pilots undertaken, Chair, in the determination of backlogs on water. And since water is as the most key element of poverty, as an indicator of poverty, the lack of access to water, that we have requested municipalities also to give high priority to access to water. On the Integrated National Electrification Program grant, there's a need for a shift towards renewable sources of energy, such as solar and wind, in response to climate change. Greater portion of the Integrated National Electrification Program grant should be going towards municipalities with conditions that it must be mostly used to invest in renewable energy sources. The allocation that goes to ESCOM should be accompanied by a condition that it be mostly utilized towards getting the grid ready for receiving feed-in energy from renewable energy sources. The need to prioritize investments that will stimulate the development of the renewable energy sector is emphasized. Chair, 8 billion rand has been allocated. 5 billion is going to ESCOM. 3 billion to municipalities. This does not promote sustainable or efficiencies to be achieved at a local level through the introduction of renewable energy. On capacity building grants, we are saying it is proposed that an assessment be undertaken to measure the impact of municipalities building capacity building grants at a local level. That impact need to be checked against the And we have seen that these grants are not being transferred, but there's no measurement whether there has been improvement in terms of systems that have been created. Discussions have prevailed here around matters pertaining to reporting. There are municipalities who have created these reporting systems, but it's not clear why is it not aligned through all the different structures of accountability that we haven't seen it working. The framework, DPLG, has a framework policy in place, and we think that this should be attended to by DPLG. The replacement of the REC levies. While SAUGA welcomes the proposed method of phasing in the implementation of the general fuel levy for metros, the following concerns should be recorded. The fuel levy allocation is guaranteed with inflation adjustment for the next 3 years. From 2012 to 2013, the allocation will be solely based on fuel sales per municipality. In the case of a decline in fuel sales, municipalities will receive less as there are no guarantees. The reliance on fuel levy by metros could have unintended consequences. Municipalities could promote the use of private motor vehicles to boost fuel sales, as opposed to promoting public transport and mechanisms to reduce road traffic. SAUGA is currently investigating also local business tax as an alternative or appropriate replacement of REC levies. SAUGA will continue to engage National Treasury and DPLG in finding replacement tax for REC levies. Notably also is a court case before the High Court regarding arrears, which could have an impact on the quantum that has been determined by National Treasury as a replacement. This we would like to raise that you monitor that specific, the outcome of that case. Duties of a provincial treasury. The section 43.2a requires provincial treasury to disclose its allocations on the same day that it tables budgets, but not later than the 14th April 2009. By this time, most municipalities have already tabled their draft budgets. It is proposed that provinces should disclose their draft budget allocations to municipalities at an earlier date, and in my introductory remarks I've also referred to it. Chairperson, in conclusion, SAUGA would like to emphasize that further work on municipal financial allocations be considered the impact of unfunded mandates on municipalities. These are results because of functions that are not local government functions in terms of the constitution, the assignment to local government by way of sectoral legislation without related adjustments to the fiscal framework, for example, disaster management, Schedule 4A of the Constitution, and the second point is that local government functions that are not part of the basket of the four basic services which must be provided to poor households, for example, as outlined in Schedule 5B of the Constitution. This in particular means that the raising of taxes and tariffs at the local level has got an impact to finance these unfunded mandates. Conclusion, Chair, what we have said that there are no, these are not catered for in the equitable share formula or other grants, the local economic development component, for instance. There is therefore no clarity as to how these costs associated to providing services related to these functions should be funded. A simple case in point is 2010 and the upgrading of sports facilities, for instance, within MIG that hasn't been catered for. The resolution of this matter is directly linked to the finalization, as I said, of the local government and provincial government review process currently being undertaken by DPLG, and SAUGA recommends that Parliament set fixed timelines for the completion of this review. Chair, that is the submission of SAUGA.
Thank you very much.
So good.
I would have preferred that maybe you go to National Southern. That's a small comment that I would make. Madam Naleni earlier indicated that now there were extensive consultations. I don't know when everyone else has gone, is left with the two of us, if she will still be able to confirm that from the input that we have here.
Okay. National Treasury.
I'm sure the people that are making input can also confirm that there has been extensive consultation in this process. But clearly there are big issues that we had to deal with. And it's a progressive process that we are engaged in to further reach and understand those that are still outstanding. I'm sure they can confirm all of them, the sectors, that there has been, and it's continuing. It's not ended.
I would wish if Che were to come back on condition that the whole, what we call National Treasury Board, of course, if we were to come back, that the process that we are raising here, that maybe we need to engage in these processes much, much, much earlier than now.
No, SALGA is part and parcel of the budget forum. I think that's part of the consultation process. Mr. Brown and Madam Nalin.
And in fact, if I may add, our consultation, especially when we're dealing with this city grant, has gone beyond just the national level. It included the cities themselves, and we also were able to bring in treasury at some point in those consultation sessions. So we have been running what we call city budget forums that really became much wider, because a lot of the times we sometimes introduce things here that have not taken into consideration some of the realities on the ground or people that are receiving. So it has gone quite wider than just us at the national.
Yeah, and no, I just need to add to that. I think we must appreciate the submission by SALGA. Let me say why I say so. SALGA is starting to boost its own policy unit to do quite a bit of detailed work as it relates to local government policy. And I think Mayer and a number of the people have recently been appointed, if I'm correct. And a lot of the work that they put forward to us today, only a few relates to the bill itself directly. For example, if one takes the date, and which we have taken into account, by the way, in Section 15, because the date is the 30th of May, if you check the latest one. Then there are other issues that actually came in new through the electrification, for example, saving of electricity initiatives that are now put in place, that are basically being raised, things that we can still finalize because we will capture quite a bit of the stuff in the framework that supports the grant. So there are these one or two issues that I think within the next month we can cover basically in there. What I've indicated to Mayer is immediately in April, what we need to do is actually set an agenda for local government. The policy issues that we need to investigate for the next year, for that matter. Because a lot of the issues that are raised here, are, by its nature, are those long-term kind of issues. If I take, for example, the fuel levy itself, what is presented there is there's general support, there's caution. We can explain to them, basically, that the fuel levy is not the ultimate replacement, for example, of that. There's VAT, for example, that was zero rated that puts into the coffers. The concern that there may be a bit of fluctuations, we say no, but there are other sources that are being investigated. They're also doing work. We're also doing work. It's a question, how do we bring the work together so that we mitigate the negative impacts that it may have, for example, on municipalities. So a number of the issues that are raised there, I must say, are pertinent issues and are issues that we have to, on an ongoing basis, really kind of engage on, and I don't think they will have a direct bearing on the bill itself in its current format.
Check two things. Worried about, firstly, let me just check before I get worried. You're saying on page 4, the targets were, however, retrospective
really apply to all districts and municipalities, resulting in many being disqualified for eligibility for the incentive. What is meant here? Then, on page 5 again, first bullet there, to allow all municipalities who have reported on EPWP to be deemed eligible to participate in the wage incentive. Again, what do we mean here?
Chair, we met with the
minister. Third one. No, the third one is, that's page 6, Rural Transport Services Infrastructure Grant. While the grant is still in a pilot phase, it is felt that there is a lack of clarity on the alignment of this grant with the MIG portion. In fact, precisely because it still is a pilot, it surely cannot be clear, because it's also targeting about 5 municipalities for that matter. But what is also critical here is the alignment not only on MIG, I mean to MIG, because there's also the PTIS that is going to be going to other municipalities post 2010. And so the alignment must be very clear. PTIS, this one, and MIG. So I'm just saying, I think let's also find a way of, but also the IGP roads component in the provincial roads. I was watching there's also an interesting matter that is raised by some entity, not by all, but one entity in the Free State. It's called the Free State Development Corporation. Apparently it owns some of the roads near its properties. Now municipalities there are reluctant to take over those roads, but I just wanted to understand these two issues that relate to EPWP. First thing, the eligibility applied to the district municipalities which were disqualified for eligibility, and then those that were to report on EPWP.
Chair, we had a meeting with Minister Jeff Deutsch, and he made a presentation to us with regard to those district municipalities who participated in the EPWP program. And if I'm not mistaken, it was about the total number of districts as well as local, about 46 out of the 283 municipalities. So with a view of increasing the number of participating municipalities, we are saying that if you are going to apply criteria in terms of retrospectively, you will restrict entrance of new municipality. The criteria is basically on the whether it's existing alien vegetation clearance, road maintenance programs, cutting grass, cutting gabions, etc. Water related, the nonpilus or home care services, home base, and so forth. In other words, some of the municipalities have current projects underway, which means that only those that have current projects underway can actually immediately benefit. So what we have been saying as SAUGA is that we should look at a framework that allows most of the municipalities to immediately be able to access with labor intensive programs, the expanded public works program. And we have had a number of meetings at SAUGA with our municipalities, presentations by high level officials have been undertaken in order to, with a great sense of immediacy, to create jobs, to reduce poverty levels in areas where high poverty levels exist, and also to overcome seasonality in certain areas, both in agriculture.
Thank you very much. If you look at the framework contained in the current division of revenue bill on page 152 and 153, as well as the allocations, then in the allocation schedules, we have met with SALGA in this regard also and with the Department of Public Works to discuss their concerns. And what we've agreed to is that we'll amend the frameworks currently on the table as well as the allocation tables. We've still got time to do that. And to actually make it more in line also with how the provincial requirements are. And there's two ways that you can actually qualify for an allocation. And the first is that you get a minimum allocation, and the only requirement to actually achieve that minimum allocation is just to report on your EPW targets to the Department of Public Works. And that's been a requirement for the last 5 years. A number of municipalities have not been doing that. So for that reason, they've been excluded. Then the second criteria is then to get a bigger allocation is that you then meet your minimum threshold target, so that's then based on historical performance. So there's two levels of allocations. What the difference is, if you look at the allocations currently contained in the schedules, you just qualify if you meet the reporting as well as the minimum threshold. That has now been changed in the framework to say that if you've reported, you'll qualify for that allocation. So the amount of municipalities will then increase. That's the one thing that we're currently doing. The second thing that's also being receiving attention is, and we've agreed also with SALGA that we'll put in place an initiative to ensure to prioritize municipalities to report to the Department of Public Works just on EPWP so that they can then come onto the system from the next financial year, 2010-11. The whole incentive grant is intended to actually get municipalities to extend their targets, but if they don't report, how can you receive an allocation? So there's been a number of changes to actually accommodate SALGA's concerns.
I don't understand, because if we look at the service delivery business implementation plan, clear outcomes and outputs are being defined in those business implementation plans. And those business implementations will give all the data. Data capturers capturing data, if I reflect on the municipality where I come from. So there should not be any problem if all these, the requirements of the Systems Act are being adhered to. The intent of the legislature to be accountable and a reporting mechanism from a municipal where that data capturers on a daily basis after the completion of work will capture data on the project. So, Chair, I don't understand, you know, that we have such a difficulty with this reporting system. I agree that most municipalities may not have it. But how many municipalities do have the total integrated system of your IDP, your performance management system, and your budget? I can go out and go on my computer and I know exactly what's happening in the municipality on any project, wherever I am, you know. So I can't understand that we talk here about that municipalities are not reporting. But we need to ensure that if we spoke about capacity building grants, did the departments discuss this matter and say we have a problem with non-reporting of municipalities and address the issue of the reporting systems that need to be in place? I don't know, Chair, I'm just asking.
Yes?
No, Honorable Councillor, I mean, one must just be careful that you don't project your own experience in terms of your municipality with the rest of the municipalities. We've got 283 municipalities. Let me give you just a flavor. When we started with Section 71 reporting, initially we had, I think, just under 100 municipalities reporting. despite the systems, and you must remember the systems in municipalities are different across all municipalities, which makes reporting in itself difficult. Even up to a point where you say you can't even universalize the systems, it will be too expensive and it will not be possible to do. Right? So, through threatening, I'm sorry to use that word, right, we have managed now to get all Section 71 reports. This is just financial reporting on their normal day-to-day running of their businesses. Right? Now, on the output side, and I think DPLG who sits here will also tell you, if we want to know how many toilets or whatever is being built in certain municipalities, you may by the press of a button give us the information, but another municipality may not. Now, part of the grant and its intention, it is an incentive so that the municipalities like your own municipality that does well to get more money, but also at the same time to encourage the ones that are struggling to then start to beef up quite a bit of the activities so that we can have employment generating. I take your point, and the point that you are making is a valid point. The one where you say, basically, the ones that have got the good start will remain far ahead, and I think that is the crux of your point, all right, in terms of the EPWP. How do you resolve it? Now, part of the resolution is to say, because this grant wants to augment the EPWP in phase one, in a way, is to say, in any case, municipalities should have engaged in activities that generate employment. In that case, all that the municipality must do is to go back and say, I have done the following, and I can demonstrate that I have created so many jobs. And if they done to do that, they provide the information to us, then they will get at least that minimum kind of allocation in terms of that. So that we start to address your particular concern as it relates to that particular fact. But what we envisage, and you will notice, the allocation in year one is 202 million, which means in any case municipalities will be getting small amounts, not big amounts, initially in year one. But eventually, if there's success in how it is rolled out, that grant will grow in municipalities to just over a billion, which we hope municipalities on a demand side kind of activity will be able to check up the activities so that they know there is this big incentive. If we do well and report on a continuous basis, we will be accessing those particular funds. Now, Honorable Chair, we've got time. I think you are going to have public works at some point in the hearings to discuss this, and it will help if Salga is present. Then we can take this particular debate further there.
In fact, my own reservation is why do you incentivize a fish for swimming? Surely a fish must swim. And surely municipalities, because they must raise revenue, but now they've got to create jobs. Why an incentive for that? I think for me that's the just fundamental problem. But then now that it is in place, we've got to find a way of using it in a manner that firstly is honest and really does create sustainable jobs. And so I do want to encourage further discussions between yourselves. But I'm worried about, one, the fact that you would want to allocate retrospectively. Let's just start about, finance as a municipality that has just started, and communities that were saying, no, you are doing this because of elections. For the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, William has been receiving his MIG going back for the last 8 years. And we were always asking about jobs. Where are people here? Now, all of a sudden, there's so much activity. And so in that context, that municipality would benefit, because they would come and say, no, we've created about 200 jobs. All along in the period, they've not been doing this thing. That's the big thing for us. But then secondly, we do think that there are, myself, I do think that there are municipalities that are really deserving. One is amongst the big ones. I would not argue for Tshwane to benefit.
I mean, we've had a huge discussion with Tshwane late last year. They seriously have problems just across the board. Until they have resolved, we're talking metro now. We're talking metro. Until they have resolved some problems. But Kakadu, in my view, must benefit. Rural and poor. I'll come back to Mshawing. Surely Mshawing has got to benefit. Rural and poor, but they're doing all sorts of good things. And so injecting some money for them to create jobs, in fact, would also ensure that they also have skills as a municipality just to keep people in the municipality. So I'm saying, if, again, I'm saying the discussion must not be long, but because we already know some of these performing municipalities. You've got the nodal municipalities, for instance, that surely, in my view, that are really striving and struggling very hard to do the right things, would be my immediate targets personally, so that these jobs are created there. Machabing, Tshwane, Thekwini, Nelson Mandela, Mangaung, there are other things that must be dealt with, also in the context of reporting and so on and so on. But I'm talking municipalities that are really, really trying hard. Because I think through this scheme, we can really take them out of, I mean, we were talking about some of these very poor municipalities, etc., earlier. This is an opportunity to just check them up in terms. That colleague of mine can tell you about a municipality just here, northwest, Kitsobotla municipality, for me. And so, more and more discussion is very critical for me in terms of these things. So that you really focus where you really need to create jobs. I mean, why would you want to incentivize Tshwane really? Tshwane must be. By us here, we've got to push Tshwane big time to do the right thing. Simple. But I'm saying these small municipalities really must be assisted, working together with all of these departments that are, and I think, for me, the conditions should not be worked out by one department. You've got your DWARF, you've got your DPLG, you've got everybody, SALGA, so that we look at the whole picture in looking at all the issues that these people must be incentivized on.
Honorable Chair, your comments are most welcome. I think your approach to say let's start rural first, possibly, is something that we need to then consider when we start to work on this thing, so that we give the rural municipalities then a head start, but then at the same time start to tell the bigger municipalities that your chance is coming, it's in three, but you must demonstrate. So then we can sequence it actually in that particular way. Now that is highly appreciated.
Chair, I was just going to respond to Moshaneng. Mshawing. In fact, we just looked at the...
Mshawing, I'm telling you about it.
Yeah. No, in fact, the
EPWP, responses there.
The EPWP targets are related to those municipalities that receive MIG. So whoever receives MIG has to report on how many jobs they've created. The problem is that there are many municipalities out there that have not created, I mean, that have not received MIG. And Mshawing is, in fact, one of them. But in the next financial year, they are receiving MIG. And I think exactly what Kenneth said, we need to actually go to them now and encourage them to report on the jobs that they've created despite not having MIG. And once they...
You're not going to get those jobs, I can tell you that.
But
what you're raising is that Mshawing has really done things minus this MIG, etc. I'm saying such municipalities, in my view, must be encouraged to do more, and so find a way of linking them here. And I think this is the only opportunity that's available for SALGA now to speak strongly on behalf of these very poor municipalities, big time.
And that's the amendment that we were proposing with National Treasury, so we'll bring them in.
Chair, the other point I thought of maybe related to this is that we have said that what is working for us is where a transfer
is effected directly to a municipality. Then the approving authority is a national department, and it's direct. Now, with the, especially when we have to look at how other grants, etc., what is not known to us is when all the indicators, whether it's the Human Development Index or IDP or provincial and district growth and development strategies, indicate to you where investment must take place. And then we find, out of the blue, as I said in the beginning, you get money for which you did not apply for. That is why we are saying somewhere this alignment issue needs to be dealt with. Also to make provincial treasury accountable in terms of that money is directed in infrastructure to the correct point.
Now, I think important points are being raised. However, it's clear that meetings maybe of this nature are not too mean so that we can engage. Because I would really love that maybe I'll suggest that maybe we just confine ourselves. The problem that we have on our side is the time. If we could just confine ourselves to this. But I think that this point that Salga is raising, it's a pity that, comrade, I'm not sure if I will still be sitting here after the 22nd of April. If I will be sitting here, I would say we need to come back to these issues. We would need to come back to these issues that are being raised. But let's just ask the departments that are here to respond on some of these issues that are raised here, and especially some of them talking about those unfunded mandates, those kind of things. So
now, unfunded mandates thing, nobody's going to respond. The MFMA is clear. Everybody must pay their dues. That's the bottom line. And we don't want investigations. We don't want discussions. We've got to. National Treasury, the MFM again is clear there. If the municipal manager reports to National Treasury, these things must be dealt with immediately. And so we're not, that one, there's no discussion about that one. Unfunded mandate is wrong. In fact, it's violating the law. That's just the bottom line. All that we need to do is, from this side, National Treasury and Provincial Treasury, is to work and assist municipalities to receive all of their money. No two ways about it. In fact, maybe one of the things we might want to start looking at is the interest of all of those monies that have not been paid to municipalities. That's one of the things that we might want to look at.
Can I respond to the water and sanitation issues?
Yes.
Can I refer, start by slide 2? And thanks for the presentation to Salga. And what I is only in that third bullet, a small reference to the issue of operating subsidies, tax bases. I think I'm also glad to support my colleague from National Treasury that Salga's unit for policy has been strengthened. And I think both from our side of DPLG and Treasury, we should engage on these issues because very little is said in the presentation about ongoing operation and maintenance and functioning of ongoing services. We recently had a discussion between DPLG ourselves and people from civil society complained about free basic services, free basic services not delivered. So the question that always with us are the funds too little, or are the funds that meant for basic services, free basic services, are spent elsewhere? If you look at the explanatory memo that goes along with the bill, the tables on page 90, table 122. If you look at that table, there's about 200 rand per household per month allocated for water and sanitation, which to me sounds quite a substantial amount. So the question, I think, is just the invite to Salga and DPLG and Treasury, we look at these things. Are the funds too little, or is it not spent in the right way? And I think then for that we need Salga's input. My next comment, Chair, is on slide 8. There's a concern about not involving municipalities in water for schools and clinics. What I can undertake, I'm not directly involved here, is that I give undertaking to Salga that I'll refer this message to our team that's dealing with the issue, that they take cognizance of your concern and take it into consideration in implementation and change the way they operate. On slide 9, the water service operating subsidy grant, I'll ask my colleague Lerato to respond to that.
Thank you, Chair. And on the issue of refurbishment, the allocation that we give to municipalities has got the three components: refurbishment, operation and maintenance, and human resources. I just want Salga to come to us, because what comes out of DORA is the total allocation. It's not as we allocate to municipalities. When we write to municipalities to say your allocations are, we specify refurbishment and operation maintenance and personnel as well.
Okay.
The other issue on the subsidy decreasing, that it needs to be ring fenced, I can't agree with you more, because that's what we realize on some municipalities, that they don't ring fence their funding on operation and maintenance. And therefore, at the end of the day, you find that the operation maintenance suffers for other things that municipalities are doing.
Thanks, Chair. Just from DPLG side, if I can just make one or two comments. I think the issue around the IDPs and the planning is a serious concern that we noted. It's cross-cutting to a lot of the discussions we had today. One of the things being done around infrastructure planning to improve it is the development of these comprehensive infrastructure plans that's linked now to the IDPs. So with those comprehensive infrastructure plans, we're beginning to get better alignment between the different departments. So you can take a district and you can say exactly what is the total infrastructure needs in a district, but cut across right from bulk to actual connections. And that's beginning to improve the situation. But I think it's going to require greater focus now in terms of also implementing those plans. But related to that, just supporting what the DG from DWARF was saying about funding, because a lot of these things we're unable to deal with because we're trying to align things, but there is a challenge around the actual quantum of funding available. I mean, if you take the regional bulk grant worth $1.4 billion, you're talking of trying to support the building of major water schemes and storage and dams and that. And really that funding is seriously inadequate in the bigger scheme of things. So we are finding that situation where some municipalities, you know, are rolling. They're using MIG because you can't use MIG to do that regional park. But they're using, because they have to spend the MIG, they're actually putting in place the connection pipes in it. But then the regional park and the water supply is not coming through. So we have to begin to look at this issue of funding and the role of DBSA, the private sector, etc., to close the gap in terms of what's available in the fiscus. And we've got to define this issue of bulk as well much better, because I think a lot of the challenges around alignment is sometimes lack of clarity around the issues of bulk. So, you know, what is regional bulk that's in the realm of national governments to manage and deal with? What is the bulk that we talk about that is in the realm of municipalities to deal with? And I think if we create that kind of clarity in the system, it will assist. But I think what we also want to suggest is, because a lot of proposals even Salga is making is extending beyond the current Division of Revenue Act, but I think it's very useful proposals and suggestions. But we, for example, we're beginning to have discussions with housing on this issue of settlements and sustainable human settlements. What is it? How do we actually begin to look at infrastructure investment in relation to that? And it's clear we're going to need a framework, a grant framework that sits above all these current individual grants in the Division of Revenue Act. So we're going to need a,
a macro framework for all of these grants so that we can get, at the moment there's nothing that is compelling at the macro level, compelling the alignment between these grants. And then we need to relate those grants to funding actual settlement plans rather than, you know, ad hoc projects and initiatives. And I think that from our side will assist the situation. The last point, Chair, is around the issue that Salga is raising on Schedule 7. And I think the concern Salga is raising that we don't start compromising, you know, developmental local government and a decentralized approach. I think the intention is definitely not to do that. But Salga must appreciate as well the fact that we do have a serious capacity problem. And part of our objective is also around infrastructure delivery and meeting backlogs and targets. And there's different ways of doing it. And I think we need to have a greater discussion without, you know, just writing those options around Schedule 7. I think we need to have much more discussion and engagement around options on Schedule 7 with regard to infrastructure. Thanks.
Thanks. Just to give a comment around the issue around ring fencing, and I think it has been emerging. I mean, there has to be ring fencing. And I think, you know, in our discussions, I think we might have to really sharpen our way of really understanding also what are we saying in terms of this ring fencing, or what is it different, obviously, from the way that we're doing things, because we might not necessarily be addressing the problem. Because if you ring fence, what do we mean? Are we meaning that we must then create a way that we're saying this money should not be in the primary bank account, should be in a particular bank account so that we deal with these particular matters in this way? But if that is the point, in the current way that things are happening, if we put money into the primary account or in any account, what is that particularly the problem? Why is the money not being used? Is the ring fencing going to change the attitudes toward really beginning to utilize that particular funding? So I'm saying, I think it has been long we've been talking about this ring fencing. This ring fencing started a long time ago, as we were talking about, as a term. And I think we have not really composed a way of beginning to say, this is what we mean. And you can write memorandums and whatever circulars and send to the municipalities and say, look, we want you to ring fence. But I don't think we are very clear ourselves to be saying, what is that which we need? Because we even going grand routes, again, you still have to deposit that money. There will still be that very same kind of way that things have been done. So I'm just saying that while acknowledging the issue around the ring fencing, I think it might also be useful in our debates throughout all the sectors to try and really define ourselves to be saying, well, what are we actually talking? Are we talking an alternative way of beginning to manage this particular money? Because in any case, municipalities, you know, that's all what they're doing. Because if that portion was very clear from our prescripts to be saying, this is the money that you use for refurbishment, and they don't use it for refurbishment. Do we think that the alternative way maybe should be that, no, let's put it aside, this is the one, then we tell them the same story. So I'm just saying, you know, it might also be some comment that I wanted to pass here to say, I think amongst ourselves we need to really also be very clear as what we're talking about as we say ring fencing and the instruction we're trying to give to the municipalities.
I think, Chair, I need to clarify the context in which we're talking about ring fencing in this particular presentation. We're not talking about ring fencing in general of services. We're talking about the monies that are being transferred to municipalities to subsidize operational schemes that are being transferred to municipalities. That the policy as it stands now is that money will decrease over a period of time by 30% and eventually being integrated in the general equitable share of municipalities. The point we are making is that what we have found is that the schemes that are being transferred to municipalities from national from DWARF more specifically are schemes that are not financially sustainable on their own. They will be schemes that will always require to be subsidized. And one of the reasons why it is so is that in the design of those schemes, the life cycle costs and the affordability of those schemes was not properly taken into account. So if that money is taken away and integrated in the equitable share, those schemes then will be a burden of those receiving municipalities to continue to subsidize. Some of them, as well as we're saying, that the costs are quite unreasonably high. So I think that rather than that money that is being taken away, that is being reduced, it should be ring-fenced and reallocated to the same municipalities as a top-up to the equitable share allocations as worked out in terms of the formula. so that those municipalities can still afford to operate those schemes that they have received from them.
You know what, we must just resolve, switch off, go back. That's DPLG, USALGA. Go back and resolve the terminology, ring fence. And so that we all understand each other in terms of exactly what are we talking about. We understand what you are saying in terms of the schemes being, in fact, no dam has been built in this country since 1994, for instance. And so the dams are very old, all of them. And now I've been allowing this discussion to proceed because I was hoping that the DG, DME, is going to walk through that door. And it looks like he is not going to walk through that door. Now, what I'm going to do then, if there is a written submission from the team, from DME, let them give me that submission, and we'll have to look at that submission. Yes?
The reason the DG is not here because he's off sick, and I'm acting on his behalf. Yes.
Good. If that is the case. But then what I will then do, we will then proceed with yourselves. And then at I don't know what time, Madi Cheng has said to me she wants to leave. And I'm going to allow her to leave. Is it Madi Cheng or Brown? Oh, only Brown. Fine. And Wendy. Oh, the team is forever together. Proceed, madam.
Thank you very much, Chief. As I already indicated, the minister was tasked to chaperone, if I can put it that way, the Secretary General of the UN, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, and therefore that she could make it, and the DG is off sick. And I'm here with my colleague, that's Martin Masemula, who's going to be making the presentation, and also my colleague from the ministry, Nomi Giludid. Thank you. My name is Nelisiwe Makubani. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for electricity, nuclear, and clean energy.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, members, and colleagues. My presentation will basically be, that's the format of my presentation. I'll look at the allocation of municipalities' plan connections for both ESCOM and municipalities, as well as some details on the allocation on the demand side management allocation. I have Chairperson decided to include. Yes.
Sorry, Chair. I think it was quite imperative that we include this picture. Because some of
this picture
yes, because well, one of the issues that was raised here by SALGA on renewable energy is very, very pertinent, because you have a different, we have a different framework for renewable energy, and the INEP is specifically to make sure that those people who don't have electricity have access to electricity. So the other scheme, they didn't. Thank you.
Okay, Chair, I just indicated those are our allocation in the MTF, and that's the criteria used to do the allocation, the project type, rural bias, focus on the backlogs, and the licensed authority capacity. In this case, when we say licensed authorities, both ESCOM and municipalities, which are licensed. Those are the municipal allocations as we know it today. To notice that the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Limpopo have significantly high allocation, and that's basically where most of our backlogs are. You'll also notice that Gauteng has got a significant amount of allocation as well, specifically because of mainly some of the bulk infrastructure work that they are doing. Out of that specific allocation, we have got four municipalities, about 398 million, which is specifically intended to boost the municipal bulk program, because they have done a lot of connections previously, and now they are running out of the bulk infrastructure to AXA, and even including some of the work that they have to do to access more additional connections, especially when they are building houses in the outskirts of the municipality. So we need to build bulk there. These are the planned connections, and you notice that, for example, Gauteng, though it has a high allocation, but in terms of the connection that they have to, they are quite small. The reason being that they are basically constrained now by the amount of substations and things like that they have. So they want to build more of those substations so that the new housing developments that are going to happen, especially for low cost housing, they can be able to supply bulk in those areas. On the ESCOM program, we have got the clinics program, schools and clinics program, the households, and the total being that 1.4. But we also have got that, I would say, special allocation for the schools and clinics as well. Now, in terms of that, or on the ESCOM, about 300 million rand, we will also be spending it on bulk infrastructure, and you see that there are some areas like the Free State and the Mpumalanga where ESCOM is not necessarily building infrastructure, and they would be doing very, for example, minimal work in Limpopo, because most of the sub-transmission work in your Limpopo area, you find that the mines are building some bulk infrastructure, so it becomes easy to tap in there. But in your Eastern Cape areas and so on, you find that we have to really incentivize, like for example KwaZulu-Natal, we have to really build a lot of sub-transmission network to go deeper into the rural areas. And this is the household connection, so with the amount that is available, we can achieve about 90,000 connections, and on the municipal side, it indicated 70,000 connections. That is the allocation there. You can see the chunk of the money goes to your Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as the Eastern Cape. In terms of the backlogs that Sarka had did indicate that some municipalities. Eastern Cape gets more as well. Eastern Cape gets more as well than Cape. Yeah. We want.
No, what happened is this is a historical thing. These are the areas: Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and KZN. This. No. These are areas where infrastructure was.
Okay, this is the allocation. So in the areas like you, Free State and Gauteng, Northern Cape as well as Western Cape, we no longer have schools that needs to be electrified. So our major backlog will be doing some leftover schools in the northwest, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, as well as the larger portion of the KZN area. So that is where. So we need to complete that, and these are the numbers that we are planning to do, so that we can clean up. This is only on the grid connection. Now on the special allocation specifically to deal with backlog on schools and clinics, we have identified
these two provinces, because they basically have the last remaining now backlog over and above what has been allocated. So we are targeting those two provinces, and that is the allocation. Now, in terms of what we are doing at this stage, we have already prepared contracts for all municipalities so that we can start the implementation. You can see we do concentrate on building the bulk infrastructure in order to increase the maximized number of connections, and we'll also eradicate then the backlog in the schools by the end of this coming financial year 2009-10. Now, coming into the demand side management, that is our allocation as we have it today. There's 250 million this specific financial year. We will be concentrating on areas where we can have maximum saving in terms of megawatts. So that's the allocation that we have that has been used. And in terms of the allocation per province for the municipal allocation, we are doing some work in the Eastern Cape, and that will basically be mainly the whole city as well as the Free State. Gauteng has the largest portion of that specific allocation, as well as the Western Cape in terms of the allocation. In terms of the ESCOM specific allocation, where it is concentrated in Gauteng, which is, I think in this case it's in the Midva, as well as the city of Johannesburg. So we are targeting those specific two municipalities for the saving. This is the DSM.
Let me respond. DSM, that is demand side management. It's an initiative that is targeted towards making sure that we save energy. Various programs involved in those demand side management program, which includes, among others, efficient lighting. So, rollout of efficient lighting, where possible, rollout of solar water heaters. But just to try and reduce the consumption of electricity, as the chair is aware, we're experiencing a supply shortage, and it's gonna be with us for quite a while. And when I say quite a while, we're looking at about 7 to 10 years. So, therefore, we have received an allocation that seeks to alleviate the supply problems by reducing the demand. We're targeting those cities that consume a lot of energy. Yes, so because what we're saying is that let's go for a quick win. For smaller municipalities, we're going to look more on the efficient lighting side of things. Yes, but Gauteng, basically in this country, they consume the biggest chunk of electricity.
Chair, that's the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Well, the strain is also taking its own toll. This was schools and clinic. Who is administering it? Because I think that we, or was it different thing? Because I had another department who was also administering access. What department was that? Or a different? No. I'm saying this question of access to electricity for schools and clinics. Who is obviously supposed to be ESCOM? But I'm saying other people, they have in their own, what you call, presentation as well. Unless that I'm just mixing things. I thought that somebody else. Where's it? Yeah. Maybe something else.
Maybe we can assist.
I'm asked to ask.
Going to say is that chances are DWARF did something on it as far as their service provision is concerned, because they provide yes, water and sanitation. So what we're referring to is the access for electricity.
But yeah, just to add on that, we ourselves and DWARF, we have a committee which we work on to be able to align our activities. So whatever they have presented in terms of the numbers, it will be.
By virtue of the availability of electricity, water then must then be able to flow to those schools and clinics. Because part of what you don't want to see, because there is no electricity, is that schools are connected to the water system and there's no electricity that has caused the flow. I think that is what is critical. Yes, Bobson.
Now, I think that we are in agreement with DMP's proposal. However, last year, what they told us was that they could not electrify some of the schools in the Eastern Cape and whatnot because there are much schools and so forth. But Masemula would remember that. That's what he reported to us. Now, is there a change of mind, perhaps, that now you want to electrify everything? I'm looking at the budget that is there.
I will respond. I will respond to the question in two ways. First, we seem not to have an accurate database. Or rather an updated database for schools. And we have had quite a challenge where we are going to be told that this school has been electrified. This school is not electrified, only to find that it has been electrified, it's just that it has been vandalized. So then therefore we need to look at a different solution there. But also what has happened again in the past, you find then that as you said, they are mud schools. The reason why we prefer not to electrify mud schools, because I'm aware of the Department of Education's plan to upgrade some of those schools. Now, if they're going to be upgrading the school and they've already provided infrastructure,
the pertinent question therefore is, of this budget for the Eastern Cape and maybe Limpopo, are you also including mud schools? Okay. So mud schools still remain a challenge. All right. So all of these are brick and mortar schools, basically. Okay. So clearly we still would have backlogs in respect of those mud schools. All right. No, that's fine. You see, because part of the problem is, it's a pity we are really not dealing with the performance of money for now. One of the most pertinent questions, Zulu, would be, the issue you'd raised it yesterday about the extent to which we are winning the battle to eradicate mud schools, because there was additional funding for that. And so we would want to know how far we are, maybe Naleni would know, because there was that additional funding, so that if, for instance, this money would also, as you start planning, you're also targeting some of those that are, because already, I mean, what worried us ourselves is that whilst the Eastern Cape had so many mud schools, they appeared to have targeted few, for instance. And so there was this money, big amount, but they were only targeting 50 schools. And so looking therefore at this budget again, for the Eastern Cape in particular, I mean, there's a whole range of things that we really need to go back to. But also I think this document is going to be useful for yourselves in the new parliament when you engage with the Eastern Cape and the mud schools and electricity and so on. Madam Ngalin, Madam Nelen.
Part of the problem that we have in regards to mass school is how people report on these things. Because, I mean, if education budget is around 5 billion in this current year, and what was supposed to have gone for adding towards mass school is around 400 million. So the issue is, how are they prioritizing the 5 billion? Because if we say mass schools are the most, you know, those inappropriate structures are the ones that you need to prioritize, why should it be on the budget? So I think it has to do with the report, but it also has to do with, at the national level, how we look at these things. Because, and I think for me, that is the biggest mind shift that at the national level we'll need to have, so that we can even get a proper reports that come from the national, from the lower levels. Because at the national level, we look at the money that has been earmarked to address this thing that we think it is a priority. And then it's just looking at what has been done with 400 million. And I'm saying, but why are you not concerned about 5 billion? You know, so, and that's the whole issue of, can we actually begin to shift from looking at the rands and cents to what money is buying? And it doesn't matter where this money is coming from. And I think if we were to crack the issues of the quality of information coming forward, the issues of integration and coordination at a lower level, we need to begin to work on how to change this mind shift of looking at what are we getting out of the money, rather than, if only I can control the money, I will make things happen to my, you know, as a department. And I think that's a big problem, that then distorts things at the local level, and we are not able to get the integration, the reporting that we need to require at the end of the day.
Yes, mandated.
Okay.
Now, it's a pity that Madam Nalen was not around yesterday, where we saw a picture. We were informed that Division of Revenue, the conditional grant on infrastructure by education was only reflecting the additional ones. And last year we have a question that has not been properly responded to, of the 2.7 billion over the MTF. But let's not what to call deviate too much, but when the chairperson comes back in the next parliament, maybe he can raise that question. Mama Kubane, it worries me, he responds like around Eastern Cape. I mean, this question of lack of data, accurate data in the Eastern Cape. You know, just to share with a joke, the Department of Social Development from Eastern Cape came, if you remember, in 1 year with the same answer. They had a budget for so much, but what they told us was that with this budget now, they go out now and look for beneficiaries. And it was not our understanding of how budget is combined. First get the money, you don't know whether it's for whom, then now you go and look for beneficiaries. Because of lack of what is called the data. I think it's a worrying what you call the situation.
It's a worrying thing for all of us. It's a pity the councillor has left, because I forgot to raise a matter with him. I mean, with all of us. Something that we needed to share with him. About this reporting and the availability of projects and so on. We were in this city, the city. Parliament to the people, I think. And, no, it's not Parliament to the people, it's the People's Assembly. And so, we drove with the MMC infrastructure. He was acting mayor. We went to this particular place, and then he started phoning some people. We're looking for a project. And when we got to this site, he started phoning. He could not see the project. Exactly, we got lost, you're right. We got lost and drove. And then he started phoning whilst we were standing there. And you know what? We were right at the project site. And he could not see the project himself. It's an interesting experience. Our colleagues went to one project in Northwest. And then when they got there, there was no project. It had disappeared. And this is basically the issues that relate to accounting and accountability. If everybody in the municipality cannot even say where the project is, yet money has gone. Money has gone. We were at, were you part of the visit to the dam? The first one we saw was a foundation that was there for so long. And we had we saw some dwarf people working. They were just working on this huge pipe, that's all. And the other foundation thing does not belong. Again, money had gone, all of it. And then we went to a dam which was built, I don't know when. Yeah, the dam was built in the middle of nowhere. But the dam was no more. All that you could see, huge chunks of cement. And so, as you talk these things of infrastructure maintenance and so on, but also just the availability of infrastructure. Let me give you then your last words. Your last word. Yes, Baba.
The data, as we were supposed to receive it, we realized that it actually costs. Every time when you go to a school, people are already out going to electrify the school, and you find that it has already been electrified. What we started doing, because we need to finish all this in this financial year, we went because this data we were getting it from the Department of Education, and then we can use it. We went to do basically verify the data ourselves to ensure that when our people go out to go and do the installation, they will find that it's appropriate, and then it can be electrified. It will be sad.
Thank you, Chair. I thought maybe we should take the opportunity of SALGA to again raise the issue we're raising when we're making a presentation about the schools and electrification of schools. It was 2 points that we're raising, which we hope we could still discuss with DME. The first one, that the allocation of schools, the expenditure on that, in our interpretation of the bill documents, is that it will be spent by ESCOM even in areas where the municipalities are distributors, which immediately creates a problem in terms of how do you manage that ESCOM must go in and connect schools and clinics in areas where municipalities managing the system. We are not sure as to why is it so. Is there no confidence that municipalities that are distributors can connect schools in their own areas? Then the second point that we were raising is in relation to just participation of municipalities in decision making about where these public funds investments are going in terms of their municipal areas. That the reports that we're getting from municipalities that they don't even know sometimes if there is a budget of this nature or project of this nature to electrify schools, let alone being able to influence which schools should be electrified. And in a context in which municipalities in their integrated development plan and SDF, they say these are the corridors of development that we want to focus on and therefore crowd in
before you respond. Do you want to be part of the decision making of electrifying schools? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what our IGPs, as responsible planning authorities in our local areas, we think we should be.
And therefore, it becomes the role of the SGP.
No, no, we're saying the SGP will be looking at the needs of its particular school, but local government is looking at the development plan of the whole municipal area. And then, on the basis of that, it will be saying, like when we do IGPs, we'll be saying, we want to develop in this particular pattern. This is our corridor of development and of focus, and therefore public sector investment in the minimum must be going in this way so that we can stimulate private sector investment in these particular areas. And what we don't find is a situation in which public sector investment actually tends to follow that. We find that because it's not integrated with the local thinking, it tends to go in different places. Electrification is a key, is one big indicator of that particular problem that we face in local government.
Thank you, Chair. The first question about why ESCOM, first of all, I would say that majority of the remaining schools, if all of them, are in an ESCOM area of supply, and therefore it will be ESCOM doing that electrification. Municipalities in their specific urban environment, all the schools have been electrified. So all those backlogs that you see, or where we are targeting to eradicate the backlog, is mainly in rural areas, long lines deeper into rural areas where ESCOM is a distributor, and that is why they are the ones doing the implementation part of the program. The municipalities now are then involved. Fortunately, this year it means in terms of their IDP, all the schools that would have met the criteria would then have to be electrified. So municipalities are involved and in terms of which schools needs to be electrified. We've been doing that since the inception of the program, and the municipalities have always been participating in the ESCOMs. And in fact, we get a letter from the municipality saying, this school, as per the plan, we would like them to be electrified. And mainly these schools will be in these areas that I'm talking about. I don't know which specific municipalities we will be referring to, but if you talk of the where the small backlog, it will be in your Eastern Cape and KZN areas.
Yeah.
What we must do is let's just get the proper data in terms of those municipalities and so on. We'll together follow it up before the elections. Right, madam.
Yeah, if I can maybe just add to what you're saying, that we probably then need to talk, because I think we need to recall why schools and clinics were targeted. The reason that the schools and clinics were targeted, they were seen as the hubs where community meet, even after hours, where you find that the school serves also soft purposes. It's a church, it's a hall for entertainment and all those kind of things. So that was the instruction we had then, that look, because of that, and also of course they utilize as voting stations. So because of that, let's target the backlog of all the schools. In fact, the plan was we wanted to do this by 2010, because we had said to ourselves that this is urgent. It needs to be done as quickly as possible. Now, if we want to change that mindset, then we can sit down and talk and then see how we can make it work.
There are people who have not spoken in this meeting, so I want to hear their voices. Palaba, quickly.
Listen, I think you'll recall that I've been speaking in the past committee, so today I've given my colleague chance to speak. Yeah, thanks.
I don't have much to say, sir, but thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. I don't know how you hear that.
My senior manager has spoken.
Okay.
thanks, Chair, for the opportunity to speak. PMG is always really, really grateful to be able to attend these meetings. They're very interesting, and that's all I have to
say. Comrade Chair, the ANC wants people to vote for it, so I trust that everybody will actually vote for us. We need a 3/3 majority, so I count on your vote as well. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks, Shepherd, and thanks for an interesting meeting.
Chairperson, I just report on the committees and write what's going on. I paste on the website. Nothing more. I'm member of I'm part of the staff in Parliament.
Thank you really for facilitating all this because I think some of the issues that come here get raised are the issues that clearly we need to deal with, because those are issues of policy matters, which obviously I hope that will have steered us even at a national level to start addressing all these issues. And I do hope that going forward, because I think I really feel strongly that the issues of cracking reporting and focusing on the value for money are the critical issues that going forward, somehow we need to be able to have questions that will get us to address those issues. Because I think it's not enough to always be talking about how much money I control and without actually much focus on the outputs and outcomes. But that requires proper reporting, streamlined reporting, reducing duplication and fragmentation in the reporting, especially around the municipal reporting system.
Now, one of the things I want to do, I've got to give you this rule. It is a conditional grant on the comprehensive HIV and AIDS. It was given by Mr. Brown. I mean, one of the things that really bothered me last night after the discussion with health, I mean, is the huge swing from underspending to overspending, which was reported by the DG of Health. I mean, you remember one of the consistent provinces that was spending well over the years has been the Western Cape, which again is underspending there, as you can see. Now, all the other provinces have always been underspending in respect of HIV and AIDS. But again, there is some underspending. Eastern Cape, 22 million. Gauteng 140, Mpumalanga 8.9, Western Cape 30. So I'm saying, I think there's a problem if the Free State and the others had really gone into some huge overspending to the extent that there was no provision of drugs. So clearly it is a matter that, as I was saying yesterday, that they must really go back to and then look at. I mean, what could have happened, really? One of the things we're talking about, some people might neglect picking up their drugs. Some people might really not pick up their drugs. Some people might die. Of course. And of course, then there are those that are getting into, and surely there must be a balance. And so clearly the gap should not be so big to the extent that there's so much overspending, really. And so we need some explanations, really, in respect of this thing. Because even the conditional grant was progressively growing. But then all of a sudden you had that problem at that level. Madam, thank you for being an actress. But as I was saying, do ensure that the DG is taken to one of the three provinces we mentioned. There might be very good and strong men and women in those places. In Gauteng, you'd never find
a good sangoma. I mean, some people would, in fact, they move from all the provinces to do business in Gauteng. And so if you want your teacher to be better, take him either to KZN, Limpopo, or the Eastern Cape, and rest assured he will be better, and he would never be sick again. Can we adjourn? Unfortunately, we're tightening the belts. We don't have...